God has made the promise of the blessing available to everyone. All you have to do is receive it. Join Kenneth Copeland and special guest Billy Rash as they continue their teaching on The Way of the Blessing. Now, here's Kenneth.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Wednesday's edition of the Believer's Voice of Victor broadcast. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you. We give you praise and thanksgiving. We worship you, Lord, with all of our hearts, all of our soul, all of our strength, and we give you praise and honor for this broadcast today. Help us, Lord, to have the insight, to have your ideas, your concept of everything. And we receive it, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Welcome again with me today, Brother Billy Rash, to this broadcast.
It's an honor to be here.
Billy, thank you, sir. Today, let's go back to what we looked at in Jude in that 11th verse. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. The way of Cain. We've established that all last week. This week you established it so clearly in the book that you entitled The Way of Cain and how to break that self-deception. Now, let's go over to the book of Genesis. This is such a vital thing. This flies right in the face of religious ideas that have come out of man's thinking. And this is the process that not only protects you from the way of Cain and falling into that and self-deceiving yourself into thinking this is what God said, and all the time he didn't say it at all. I've heard people say, well, you know, no is an answer to prayer also. Not with God it isn't. The Word said that his promises are yes and amen.
Amen.
Yeah. So, this old thing, well, you go to hell for lying the same as stealing. You don't go to hell for lying or stealing either one. You don't go to hell for murder. You don't go to hell for only one sin, and that is the sin of not accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, because he's already wiped out all the lying and the stealing and the killing.
That's true.
Because he stood the price for the thing. So those ideas and concepts that people think they know what they're talking about, but they don't. So when you're praying a tradition, there's no promise. When there's no promise, there's no faith. Let me give you this. Billy, I had the Lord deal with me about this years ago. And he said, I want you to stay in a faith relationship with your partners. I said, well, okay. I thought I understood what he was talking about. And I did for up to a point. But as I studied that out and thought about it and prayed about it, and I was looking for it here. I carry it with me all the time. He said, when you have a book or some kind of material and so forth, and you'll forgive me. This didn't come up before we opened the broadcast. It came up in my spirit while we were talking. Why not just send it to everybody? Well, there's not a faith connection there. A faith connection comes like this. This is what God did. You make someone a promise. Then someone makes a choice to receive what you promised. So then they come back and say, I received that. And then you do what you said and you send them, whether it's a book or something like that, you send them exactly what you said with no strings attached. Now, the faith was created by the promise. The faith then went into action when you responded back and said, I received that, thank you. And then you responded to that. Now there is a faith connection and trust is being built. Now, if you just send it out there to everybody, well, it's going to be wasted on somebody who don't want it. And there's no faith connection to that, but you can make the promise to everybody. Now, that's what God's done in His Word. He's made the promise to everybody. Those that'll hear it say, you know, I believe that. I believe God will do that. And then you act on it. You go back to God and say, yes, sir, I received that. But now if you're doing that on a tradition, there's no power there because no promise in a tradition. Most of the time, most traditions tell you how come you ain't going to get it. Did you ever notice that?
And they choke the promise.
Yeah, it chokes it off.
Yeah.
Now let's go back. In the book of Genesis, right there in the very beginning, and notice this. In verse 22, even before man had been created, God blessed the animals, saying, be fruitful and multiply, fill the waters in the sea, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. Now that was, how come Him do that? That's His will to do that. Blessed. If you'll find a translation of the Hebrew into English that was translated by Jewish people, a Jewish translator, in the beginning, the blessed one created the heavens and the earth. That's the way they translate that. So then he come down here in this 28th verse, and God blessed them, talking about Adam and his wife. And God said unto them, be fruitful. That's the first thing the human ear ever heard from God. What happened to be fruitful? How did that turn into give up everything you have and be sick?
Yeah.
How'd that happen? Well, I don't want to hear all that monkey motion. Just get back here to what He said. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Now, that's the first thing God said to the very first human being. And He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So that was His perfect will for all men for all time. So now, you have to think about it like this. Okay. I put my hand on that perfect will of God, and I keep my thoughts there. This is bedrock. This is bedrock, buddy. Now, I go through the rest of the Bible with my hand on the rock. He's the blessed one. He's blessing. That's His whole idea. That's what stopped when Adam fell, was that blessing. And you go over to where God met a man that would teach His children and would do what He said, and he entered into a blood covenant in order to bless him, cause him to be fruitful and multiply. Now, reason I brought this up, that's God's purpose. That garden was His will. Hold your place there, and let's go over to the book of Isaiah. And let's look in the 51st chapter. Now remember this also. In the 53rd chapter is God calling things that be not as though they were, and He laid down in chapter 53 the crucifixion, the suffering, and the resurrection of Jesus, and then the 54th chapter, it flows into the church of Jesus Christ. On this earth I build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Ease right back here to 51. Hearken unto me, you that follow after righteousness and seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence you were hewn in the hole of the pit where you were dug. Look unto Abraham, your father, and unto Sarah that bore you. I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. What was that?
Be fruitful.
Ah, see, well, that, isn't that what he said to Noah after the flood? He started him on exactly the same words. He started over again with him. Well, here he is. He started over again with Abraham. Now, the Lord shall comfort Zion. He'll comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. That's the will of God for you and me and you. And that's what God set out to do. Now, what happened to Cain? He should have known this.
Well, he was the firstborn, and it was there available.
He should have been blessed, right?
Right. Should have been blessed.
So he took his blessing, his increase, ate the whole thing and gave God the dirt.
And that's why in Malachi 3, God said, I'm the Lord, I change not. He could have said, I am the same today as I was with Adam. I am the same today as I was with Cain. I am the same today as I am with Kenneth Copeland or Billy Rasch or whoever. He never changed. So if the blessing of being fruitful was there, the way of the Lord is there, it's still there. It was there for Cain. It's there for you and I. And you just have to deceive yourself to not receive it or add to it. So the blessing is there. It all comes back to that blessing.
And God's never changed.
And he won't change.
Well, now that's the first book of the Bible, of the Old Covenant. Let's go to the last book of the Old Covenant, which, as you're talking about, the book of Malachi. And notice this. In verse 8 of chapter 3, will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse. You've robbed me, even this whole nation. You bring the tithes into the storehouse. Bring it to me, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. I will open you the windows of heaven and pour you out blessing. There shall not be room enough to receive it, and I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. Verse 12, and all the nations will call you blessed. He hadn't changed a lick.
Didn't change what he was talking about in the beginning or the end, because he told us in the sixth verse, I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, why would you rob me? So if he's saying he hasn't changed, you said this on the phone to me, and it just exploded. I sit in my office, I had the phone right here. My wife Shelby was sitting on the couch, and she looked in, the hair standing up on her arms, and the anointing was coming through that phone. And you said to me, the sin of Adam, which the sin of Cain got into, is the same sin that God's addressing in Malachi 3. Mm-hmm. Because he's the Lord that changed not. Now, when God tells us he doesn't change, that means people either tried to change him or in their minds changed what they thought he said. So here he is again at the end of the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, the New. Again, I don't change. I was the same with Adam.
You say it's vain to serve God. What profit is it? We've kept his ordinance and we walk mournfully before the Lord of hosts and blah, blah, blah. And they weren't. They were in tradition with the tithe.
But tradition took that and hurt. He goes on in the seventh verse. He said, you've gone away from my ordinance and not kept. Return to me and I will return to you, said the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what shall we return? And tradition has said he's talking about salvation. Oh, he's talking about if you'll come back to me and return to me, then I'll return to you. But he follows it up with, will you rob God? Now, how are you going to rob God from salvation? Tradition changes the subject. Yeah. He's talking about the first fruits or tithes and offerings. He says, where will you rob me? I was this way with Adam. I'm this way now at the end of this. And in fact, he didn't speak for 400 more years to them. And then Jesus came in teaching the blessing. And so he said here, when will you rob me? Return to me and I'll return to you. He wasn't saying that salvation, even though, yes, when you turn to God, he saves you. That's covered in other places. But in Malachi 3, what he's saying is, I started off, law of first mention, the blessing is to be fruitful. I now will provide seed to the sower. I will provide you with that fruit for you to be fruitful with first fruit offerings that he supplied. Second Corinthians that we were talking about. So now he said, where will you rob me? Where will you rob me? If he was talking about salvation, he wouldn't have said, you rob me in tithes and offering, which is first fruit. So what he's saying is, you took the first fruit, you ate it. And he said, I don't change. Never going to change. I will always be this way. If you will return to me, what? That he didn't say return unto me your tithes. He said return unto me tithes and offering. They were his to start off with.
Yeah, they were.
He supplied them. And then he would have said to Adam, or he would have said to Adam, if you brought the first fruits, come, I'll return to you that which you've returned to me. He was to harvest the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That was his tithes and offerings. It was
as God's tree.
As the Hebrew actually said in there, if you read that, it says, when it says, and the tree of the garden of the midst of Eden, he actually said, this is my tree in the garden of the good. That was his tithe. If they would have returned that first fruit back, God would have blessed it, turned it back to them, and they would have been able to eat, like you said in one of last week's broadcast, they would have been able to eat that and then
In
his presence, and it would have never had to taste the evil. But because they robbed him of that blessing being fruitful, then he's reinstituted it with us. That's why when people come against the tithes and the offering, it tradition gets in there and it becomes one of the, I don't know of a nicer way to say it, Brother Copeland, it becomes one of the stupidest arguments that I've ever seen. I had a man tell me one time that was a partner to your ministry, and he was a pastor, and he was talking to me about his church. And he says, church is having such a hard time, church is this or that. And I said, well, I thought you were a partner with Brother Copeland's ministry. And he said, well, I am. And I said, well, there's a connection. There's a connection with being a partner. I have a divine connection with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. It's not going to be broke because I'm a partner. We're in fellowship, partnership together. And I said, is that working for you? He said, oh, yeah, I can feel their prayers. I can feel it. And I said, well, then think about it. Why don't you make your church a partner? If it's doing so bad, if you're doing it and it's working, then it's religion and tradition telling you, well, I can't do it with my church. Well, it doesn't say partnership will only work if it's you. I would love to see every church on this planet a partner and their pastors a partner. My wife and I are partners to this ministry. Our church is a partner because I don't want it just to come on us. I want my church divinely connected, and it makes a difference. Well, he still didn't look at it. He said, well, it's a church. He couldn't get the concept.
Well, then where we get our bedrock for partnership is in the book of Philippians. And that letter was written to that whole church. That whole church were partners with him. And they understood the power of it because that was a convict church. That church started when that jail broke open, and the jailer became the pastor of the church. And they saw the anointing on this man when he was in prison. He's praising God, and I hope every door in the prison come open, and nobody could move. Well, he said, you're partakers of my grace in my bonds. So they thought, we can have that same anointing he's got. And they understood that, and they stayed with him even after he left there. So here was a divine union between those two ministries, and they became one. So the same anointing was operating in the whole operation, not just in this apostle.
But take the same principle that you just said in Philippians 3. In Philippians, where Paul said, their partnership, they're in there with me. He goes on to say, because of that, and if we would just put the because of that in there, my God will supply all your need according to his riches and glory. Yeah. Return unto me.
My God
will
meet. Not just God.
My God will meet all your need. Return unto me, I'll return unto you. And then out of that, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me.
Now, let's hold that right there and check out the purpose. And the purpose is be fruitful and multiply. I mean, it has to go back to that because that was the very first thing God said to a man. And you follow it all the way through the Scripture. And that's what the thing is all about. That's what tithe is all about, is the connection with the Blessed One that empowers. The word bless has two very distinct meanings. One is to say something good about. The other is to empower. I could say something nice about you and bless you, but if I say it in faith, then you will become what I said about you. Now, on the other hand, I can curse you. Now you can see that what happened when the bond was broken between Adam and God, what had been the blessing in him and on him turned into the curse. And now we can see the root of both of them. So God was saying to him, that was Adam's tithe, the fruit of that tree. Well, he took it and ate it.
Right.
And it didn't belong to him, it belonged to God. So he stole it. So the first sin was theft. Now, God reinstated that. And Billy, it's amazing. All the way through here, when the blessing manifested, man, whomever it manifested in and on, tithed.
Always.
And then when they tithed, the blessing would manifest. I mean, it's just connected together all the way through this whole thing. And when you see that, you see the way of Cain and the way of God. And we out of time.
Again.
Oh, man. Billy and I'll be back in just a moment.
Attitude, mindset, action, success. It all takes a decision to learn God's plan, His way of thinking, and make the commitment to change your life. Set yourself up for victory with the Think Different, Live Different package. The Way of Cain by Dr. Billy Rash shines light on the dark path of self-deception and presents biblical solutions that will set you free to live a successful life. Break through your old way of thinking and learn to identify God's ways. Also included in this package is Kenneth and Gloria Copeland's Your 10-Day Spiritual Action Plan for Building Relationships That Last. The daily devotions, scripture cards, scriptures on CD, worship music, and a teaching DVD are all designed to help guide you step by step into a blessed life. Don't let the blessing pass you by. Know God's ways for your attitudes, actions, and decisions. Choose to think, act, and live differently today. Order the Think Different, Live Different package today at a special 35% savings. For just $22, you'll receive the new book by Billy Rash, The Way of Cain, and the Lifeline Kit from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, your 10-day spiritual action plan for building relationships that last. For additional product discounts and 48-hour processing, order online. Get out of the curse and into the way of the blessing. For these and other ministry resources from Kenneth Copeland Ministries, go to our website.
The Apostle Peter said in a message that he was preaching, he said, God sent Jesus to bless you. He sent Jesus to empower you. He sent Jesus calling things that be not as though they were, so that you could be removed from the authority of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Why? Because that's where the blessing is, and that is God's purpose in the very beginning. So If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to understand that. The reason God is making it available to you, the reason God is saying these things to you, is to wipe that sin completely out of your life and get it out of the way of the blessing and cause you to be spiritually reborn into a new creation in Christ Jesus, a new blessed being that never existed before you the moment you prayed that prayer. That's what the whole thing is all about. So, right now, you pray this. If you've never accepted Jesus, your Lord and Savior, you need to do it right now. And you pray it out loud and mean every word of it that you pray. Oh, God in heaven, I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and my Savior. Come into my heart. I confess you, Jesus, as Lord. I repent of sin. I renounce the past. I renounce the devil and everything he stands for. I repent of the whole thing. Fill me, please, with your precious Holy Spirit. Fill me with a supernatural prayer language and a praise language in the Spirit. I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that with Billy and me today, I want to send you this little book free and postpaid to help you get into the Bible. Amen. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, remember, Jesus is the Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. If you've made a decision to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the blessing is at work in your life right now. Be sure to request your free salvation package from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland at kcm.org. Come to a Kenneth Copeland Ministries event. The Branson Victory Campaign, March 8th through the 10th with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. Living Victory West Coast Faith Encounter, Anaheim, California, with Kenneth Copeland and Dr. Stephen and Kelly Swisher. Dates to be announced. Celebrate 30 years in Europe at the Europe Victory Campaign, May 10th through 12th, with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland at the Excel Center in London, UK. The world around you is changing every day, but one thing remains the same: God's Word. The Believer's Voice of Victory magazine is full of life-changing teaching that will help you and your family live in the fullness of God's blessing. Build your faith as you read word-based teachings from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and the real-life stories of believers from around the world. Request your free subscription today. The Believer's Voice of Victory magazine. Words you can build your life upon.